ओम अज्ञानते विनन्दस्य ज्ञानांजलिशलाकाः चक्षुरुं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो वी आर फिनिश्ड 147, वी विल गो टू 148। I think there is some disturbance in the background, there is some noise. Maybe I think Rajiv Prabhu from your house probably.
It's there, right?
Yeah, Abhi, I think, okay, Abhi, now it is okay. But are you all able to hear me, other devotees?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
वेदेरानि
गुदा जननहय पुराण वाक्य से अर्थ करय निश्चय। वेदेरा ऑफ द वैदिक लिटरेचर निगुद कॉन्फिडेंशियल अर्थ मीनिंग भुजन अंडरस्टैंडिंग नॉट हय इज पुराण वाक्य बाय द वर्ड्स ऑफ द पुराणास से दैट अर्थ मीनिंग करय मेक्स निश्चय सर्टन। द कॉन्फिडेंशियल मीनिंग ऑफ द वेदा इज नॉट इजीली अंडरस्टूड बाय कॉमन मैन, therefore that meaning is supplemented by the words of the Puranas. Aho bhagyam aho bhag no okay aho bhagyam aho bhagyam nanda gopa vrajaukasam yan mitram paramanandam purnam brahma sanatanam. Aho what great bhagyam fortune, aho what great bhagyam fortune nanda of nanda maharaj nanda gopa of other covered men vraja O Kasam of the inhabitants of Vrajbhumi, yet of whom Mitram friend Parama Anandam the supreme bliss, Purnam complete, Brahma the absolute truth, Sanatanam eternal. How greatly fortunate are Nand Maharaj, the cowherd men and all the inhabitants of Vrajbhumi. There is no limit to their fortune because absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman has become their friend. This quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by Lord Brahma. Apani pado vruti varje prakrita pani charana punakaya sigra chale kare sarvagrahana. Apani pada shruti, the shruti mantra beginning, apani pada varje rejects prakrita material, pani charana hands and legs. Puna again, kahe se sigra chale, walks very fast, kare does sarva of everything, grahana accepting. The Vedic apani pada mantra rejects material hands and legs. Yet it states that the Lord goes very fast and accepts everything offered to him. Ataiva shruti kahe brahma savishesha mukhya chadi lakshanate mane nirvishesha. Ataiva, therefore, Shruti Vedic Mantras kahe se Brahma the absolute truth, Savishesh, personal, mukhya direct meaning, chadi, giving up, lakshanate, by interpretation, mane, except, nirvishesh, impersonal. All these mantras confirm that the absolute truth is personal, but the Mayavadis throwing away the direct meaning, interpret the absolute truth as impersonal. As mentioned above, the Shvetavastra Upanishad 3.19 states, Apani pado javano grahita pasyati achuksa nashnoti akarna saveti vidyam nachatasyati veta tam ahur agriyam purusham mahantam. This Vedic mantra clearly states purusham mahantam. The word purusha means person in the Bhagavad Gita 10.12. Arjun confirms that this person is Krishna when he addresses Krishna as Purusham Shashvatam. You are the original person. Thus the Purusham Mahantam mentioned in the verse from the Shvetavastra Upanishad is Sri Krishna. His hands and legs are not mundane but are completely transcendental. However, when he comes, fools take him to be ordinary person. Avajananti mam mudam manushim tanum asritam. Bhagavad Gita 9.11. One who has known Vedic knowledge who has not studied the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master does not know Krishna, therefore he is a Mura. Such fools take Krishna to be ordinary person, Param Bhavam Ajananta. They do not actually know what Krishna is. Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddhaye, Bhagavad Gita 7.3. It is not possible to understand Krishna simply by studying the Vedas perfectly. One must have the mercy of a devotee, Yat Padam. Unless one is favored by a devotee, he cannot understand Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10.14. My Lord, it is very difficult to understand your personality. The less intelligent class of man cannot understand Supreme Personality of Godhead without being favored by his devotee. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita 4.34 contains another injunction. Tadvidhi prani patena pariprasnena sevaya upe dikshanti te jnanam jnanina tasvadarshina. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender to him. Only then one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person. Yeah, so here we can see that Prabhupada is quoting in the purport one particular shloka from the Svetavastra Upanishad, which is indicating that the Lord is actually a person. So like that, we have many statements in the Upanishads which indicate, which direct that the Supreme Lord is actually a person. And obviously there are other impersonal statements also. So we have to reconcile all these things. Okay. So next verse.
Probably I can read right now. Maybe just later the television might start, so can I give you some background
okay.
noise?
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, okay. 26152. Shadashwarya Purnananda Vigraha Yahara Hina Bhagavane Te Nikaha Nirakara Shat Aishwarya Purna, with six opulences in full, Anand, blissful, Vigraha form, Nyahara, whom? Hina Bhagavan, until that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tumi, you, Kaha, said, Nirakar, without any form. Are you describing as formless that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is complete with six transcendental opulences? If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is formless, how can he be said to walk very fast and accept everything offered to him? Rejecting the direct meaning of the Vedic mantras, the Mayavadi philosophers interpret them and try to establish the absolute truth as formless. Actually, the Supreme Lord has an eternal personal form full of all opulence. The Mayavadi philosophers try to interpret the absolute truth as being without potency. However, in the Shweta Vastra Upanishad 6.8, it is clearly said, Parasya Shakti Vivadhaya Shriyate, the absolute truth has multi-potency.
Yeah.
So should I continue? Okay.
Yeah, so we can see here also. Ultimately, if the factor that Supreme is impersonal, he always attributes personal qualities. So here Prabhupada writes, if the Supreme Personality is formless, how can he be said to walk very fast and accept everything? So obviously, it is covered form of personalism, you can say, because no one can say that it is completely impersonal. The Supreme or Absolute Truth is completely impersonal. No one can say like that, because they are giving a lot of attributes to the Supreme Absolute Truth. So definitely they believe, they say that you know, by the supreme potency or the illusory energy or the, you know, by the illusion, Brahman is actually affected, or I mean, they say that Brahman is never affected, but ultimately the jivas in the material world and how everything is controlled by certain laws, so that definitely proves that there is some shakti which is going around, and they don't want to identify that, so they cover it up by saying that ultimately Supreme Truth is impersonal, but again, you know, they want to assign attributes to the Supreme Truth. So that we can clearly understand from all these statements and from logic also. Okay, yeah, next. Okay. Swati Madhaji or Rashi Prabhu, you can continue.
Okay. Should I continue then?
Yeah, okay.
Sabhavikati nishakti yei brahme haya nishakti nishakti ka kari tanve kara karaha nishchaya. Sabhavika by nature, tina, three, shakti potencies, yei, which, brahme, in the absolute truth, haya, there are, nishakti ka, without potency, kari, making, tanve, him, karaha, you do, nishchaya, proof. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead has three primary potencies. Are you trying to prove that he has no potencies? Perfect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now quotes four verses from the Vishnu Puran to explain the different potencies of the Lord.
So Nirvika, you would like to continue as long as you want to read the verses, and then once you are not able to read, then we can continue.
Okay.
Nirvika,
yeah,
you are there?
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, sorry, I was just unmuting myself. I can read for like 5 minutes if there's something. So 153 is done, right?
Okay.
Has three quote friends. Are you trying to prove that he has no potencies? That one, right? So now the next one I will read. Vishnu Shakti Parapraka Shetra Nakya Tathapara Avidya Karma Sannadhya Tritiya Shakti Ishyate. Vishnu Shakti, the internal potency of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Para, spiritual, Yukta, said, Kshetrajnya, the living entities, Akshya, known as Tatha, also, Para, spiritual, Avidya, nations or godlessness, Karma, and future activities, Samajnya, known as Anya, another, Tritiya, third, Shakti, potency, Ishyate, is accepted as. The internal potency of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual, as verified by the Shastras. There is another spiritual potency known as Kshetrajna, or the living entity. The third potency, which is known as Nishyant, makes the living entity godless and fills him with creative activity. In the Bhagavad Gita, in Sri Krishna's discourse on the Kshetra and the Kshetrajna, it is clearly stated that the Kshetrajna is a living entity who knows his field of activities. The living entities in the material world are forgetful of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This forgetfulness is called avidya or nishyant. The avidya shakti or the avidya potency of the material world provokes creative activity. Although this avidya shakti, material energy or nishyant, is also an energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is especially intended to keep the living entities in a state of forgetfulness. This is due to their rebellious attitude towards the Lord. Thus, although the living entities are constitutionally spiritual, they come under the influence of the potency of nations. How this happens is described in the following verse.
Okay, yeah. Any comments?
No problem.
Okay, next.
Should I continue? I'll just read for next 5 minutes. That's it.
Yeah, you can continue.
Okay. Thank you. 155. Vya Kshetrajna Shakti Sa Veshtita Nrita Sarvaga Samsara Tapan Akhilan Avapnoti Atra Santana Santatan Yaya, by which Kshetrajna Shakti, the living entity is known as a Kshetrajna potency, Sa, that potency, Veshtita, covered, Nripa, okay, Sarvaga, capable of going anywhere in the spiritual or material world, Samsara Tapan, misery due to the cycle of repeated birth and death, Akhilan, all kinds of, Avapnoti, obtains, Atra, in this material world, Sanatan, Santatan, arising from suffering or enjoying various kinds of reactions or to future activities. O King, the Kshetrajna Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or spiritual world, he suffers the people miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya, nation's potency, which covers his constitutional position. 156. Sayatirohitatvacha Shakti Kshetrajna Samhita Sarvabhuteshu Bhupala Taratamyena Vartate Saya, by her, Hirohitatva, from being freed from the influence, Cha also, Shakti, the potency, Kshetrajna, Samagnita, known by their name, Sarvabhuteshu, in different types of bodies, Bhupala, O King, Taratamyena, in different degrees, Vartate, exists. This living entity, covered by the influence of nations, exists in different forms in the material condition. O King, he is thus proportionately free from the influence of material energy to a greater or lesser degree. The material energy acts on the living entity in different degrees according to how he acquires the associational three modes of material nature. There are 84 lakh species of life, some inferior, some superior, and some mediocre. The gradations of the bodies are calculated according to the covering of material energy. In the lower categories, including aquatic, trees, plants, insects, birds, and so forth, spiritual consciousness is almost non-existent. In the mediocre category, the human form of life, spiritual consciousness is comparatively awakened. In superior life forms, spiritual consciousness is fully awakened. Then the living entity understands his real position and tries to escape the influence of material energy by developing Krishna consciousness. Haladini Sandhini Samvit, Jaya Eka Sarva Samshaye, Lada Tapa Kadi Mishra, Vaino Dune Varjite, Ladini, the pleasure potency, Sandhini, the eternity potency, Samvit, the knowledge potency, Vai, Indian, Eka, one spiritual, sixth potency, Sarva Samshaya, the shelter of everything, Halada, pleasure, Tapakari, Tapakri, causing displeasure, Mishra, mix, Vai, Indu, Nayu, not, Guna, Varjite, devoid of all material qualities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda Vigraha. This means that he originally has three potencies, the pleasure potency, the potency of eternality, and the potency of knowledge. Together these are called the six potencies, and they are present in full in the Supreme Lord. For the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, the pleasure potency in the material world is sometimes displeasing and sometimes mixed. This is not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is not under the influence of the material energy or its mode. This is the last one I will read, 158. Then maybe someone else can read them. Satchidananda Mayi Hai. Sachidanandamayaya Ishwara Swarupa Tina Amkshakshihaya Tina Rupa Sachidanandamaya, full of eternity, knowledge and bliss, Hai is Ishwara of the Supreme Lord, Swarupa, the transcendental form, Tina Amkshay, in three parts, Shikshakti, the spiritual potency, Hai becomes Tina, three Rupa forms. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form is full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. The spiritual potency in these three portions, Sat, Chit and Anand, assumes three different forms. According to the verdict of all Vedic literature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, and the illusory energy, this material world, constitute the subject matter of knowledge. Everyone should try to understand the relationship between them. First of all, one should try to understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the Shastras, we understand that the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the sum total of eternity, bliss and knowledge. As stated in verse 154, Vishnu Shakti Parapukta, Chaitanya Charitam Madhya 6-154, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all potencies, and his potencies are all spiritual.
Okay. Ms. Fatima Dari? Will you be able to read, Mataji, or we can continue?
I'll read done. I'll read after some time, Prabhuji. Next.
Okay, okay. So, yeah. Okay. Anandam she haladini sadam she sandini chidam she samvid yare gyanakari mani. Ananda amshe in the part of bliss, ladini in the pleasure potency, sat amshe in the part of eternity, sandini the sandini potency, chit amshe in the part of knowledge, samvid the samvid potency, yare which jnana as knowledge, kari mani we accept. The three portions of the spiritual potency are called ladini, the bliss portion, sandini, the eternity portion, and samvid, the knowledge portion. We accept knowledge of these as full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To acquire knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must take shelter of the samvit potency of the Supreme Lord. Antaranga chitta shakti tatastha jiva shakti bahiranga maya tine kare prema bhakti. Antaranga, the internal potency, chitta shakti, the spiritual potency, tatastha, the marginal potency, jiva shakti, the living entities, bahiranga, the external potency, maya, the illusory energy, tine, all three of them, kare, do, prema bhakti, devotional service in love. The spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead also appears in three phases, internal, marginal, and external. These are all engaged in his devotional service in love. The spiritual potency of the Lord is manifested in three phases, the internal or spiritual potency, the marginal potency which consists of the living entities, and external potency known as Jnana Shakti. We must understand that in each of these three phases, the original spiritual potencies of pleasure, eternity, and knowledge remain intact. When the potencies of spiritual pleasure and knowledge are both bestowed upon the conditioned souls can escape the clutches of the external potency Maya, which acts as a cover, obscuring one's spiritual identity. When freed, the living entity awakens to Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service with love and affection. Okay. So here, these two are separate things. It's not that Sachit Ananda is connected to internal, marginal, and external energy. Sachit Ananda is basically the internal potency of the Lord. It belongs to the internal potency. And the Lord and the expansion of the Lord, they are existing in three forms. I mean, the internal potency, the external potency, and the tatastha shakti. So when this energy is bestowed upon the jiva, then the jiva can actually go to the spiritual world, because the jiva is actually empowered, or jiva becomes potent with the shakti of the Lord. So when there is internal energy present in the jiva, although jiva is a tatastha shakti, but if the internal energy is also present in the jiva, then the jiva has to be in the spiritual world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions that those jivas who are bestowed with the ladini shakti of the Lord, or the samvit and the ladini potency of the Lord, they are in the spiritual world. But those who do not have the samvit and ladini potency, they come to the material world. This is how we come down to the material platform, because we do not have the ladini and samvit potency of the Lord. When we attain the state of bhava, this samvit potency and ladini potency enters our heart. So it is described by Rupa Goswami that one ray of prema enters the heart, which means that samvit and ladini shakti, they enter the heart. So technically speaking, in order to be in the spiritual world, one must have Samvit and Lagini potencies. So, is this clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. It is mentioned here that that the three phases of the original spiritual potency will remain intact. What does that mean, Prabhuji?
Yeah. So, actually, Rupa Goswami has explained this in Bhakti Samrita Sindhu very elaborately. I think in my last class of NOD, I have explained this concept that how these three Shaktis, they are, you know, they are also present in the material world with the Jiva, because the existence is there. So the Sandini Shakti is present, the knowledge is there, that's why the Samvit potency is there, but it is all in a reflective way, it is present in a reflective way or a perverted way. So these potencies, these Satchitananda potencies, the internal potencies, they are actually in a perverted form in the material world and in the Jiva. So once that perverted form of the internal potency is transformed, or it is channelized or used again in the service of Lord, then it again becomes spiritual. So we have, so you know, like for example, the Jiva has to attain knowledge in the material world, right? And that is material knowledge. So originally the knowledge is spiritual, which means that you must know about the relationship with of the Jiva with the Supreme Lord, and what is the tattva, you know, of the Supreme Lord? How can we understand the Supreme Lord? So that aspect requires spiritual knowledge. In the material world, this is present in a perverted form, which means that you attain material knowledge related to the material world, and the Jiva is dealing with the material world. So this knowledge is existing between the material world and the Jiva. And then we, and obviously the existence is there. And then how the Jiva is actually enjoying the material world, you are experiencing some kind of pleasure in the material world. Now this pleasure again is a perverted form of the Ladini potency. So Satchit Ananda, these three forms, they are present in the material world with related to the Jiva in a perverted form. Okay, that is how actually that, you know, Prabhupada here also mentions that when the potencies of spiritual pleasure and knowledge are both bestowed upon the conditioned souls, the conditioned soul escape the clutches of external potency Maya, which acts as a cover obscuring one's spiritual identity. So as soon as you start receiving spiritual knowledge and you start connecting everything with Krishna's service, then the same knowledge, the same bliss will be transformed. It will appear in its original form. So that is the meaning. So I think I remember in our last NOD class, or maybe before that, I have elaborately explained these points. Because, or I don't remember if Rupa Goswami is explaining these things in Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, or whether I had researched and I had given some information, additional information. I don't remember that, but I do remember that it was shared in the NOD class long time back. Yeah, so does it make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you.
Okay. Okay, Rajiv Prabhu, you can.
Yes. Sad Shadvida Aishwarya Prabhura Chik Chakti Vilasa Hena Shakti Na Himana Parama Sahasa Shat Vidha, six kinds, Aishwarya of opulences, Prabhura of the Lord, Chit Shakti Vilas, enjoyment in the spiritual potency, Hena Shakti, such sublime potencies, Nahi, not, Mana, you accept, Parama Sahasa, great impudence. In his spiritual potency, the Supreme Lord enjoys six kinds of opulences. You do not accept this spiritual potency, and this is due to your great impudence. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full with six opulences. All of these potencies are of the transcendental platform. To understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as impersonal and devoid of potency is to go completely against Vedic information. Maya Disa Maya Vasa Ishware Jive Bheda Hena Jive Ishvara Saha Kahata Abheda. Maya Adisha, the Lord of Energy, Maya Vasa, subjected to the influence of Maya, Ishvara in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jive in the living entities, Veda, the difference, Hena Jive, such living entities, Ishvara Saha, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kaha, you say, Ta, indeed, Abheda, one and the same. Translation, the Lord is the master of the potencies and the living entity is the servant of them. That is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. However, you declare that the Lord and the living entities are one and the same. The Lord is the master of the potencies and the living entity is the servant of them. That is the difference between Lord and the living entity. However, you declare that the Lord and the living entity are the same. Okay. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is by nature the master of all potencies. By nature, the living entities, being infinitesimal, are always under the influence of Lord's potencies. According to the Mundaka Upanishad, Dvasuparna Sahujya Sakhya Samanam Vikrisham Parishyashvajate Tayoranya Pipalam Swadhyati Asanam Asanam Anyu Vichaksh Vichakshiti Samane Vikshya Purusho Nimagno Nishaya Sochati Muhyamanaha Jushtam Yada Pashyati Anyam Sham Asya Mahimanam Miti Vita Shoka. The Mundaka Upanishad completely distinguishes the Lord from the living entities. The living entity is subject to the actions of fruitive activities, whereas the Lord simply witnesses such activity and bestows the results. According to the living entity's desires, he is wandering from one body to another and from one planet to another under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God as Paramatma. However, when the living entity comes to his senses by the mercy of the Lord, he is awarded devotional service. Thus, he is saved from the clutches of Maya. At such a time, he can see his eternal friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and become free from all lamentation and hankering. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18.54, where the Lord says, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. Thus, it is definitely proved that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a master of all potencies and that the living entities are always subjected to these potencies. That is the difference between Maya Dhisha and Maya Vasa. Is that continue, Prabhuji?
Okay. I will continue now. Swati Madhari, you can let me know when you are ready.
Yeah, I can.
If you can read, otherwise we'll continue.
I can understand.
Okay, then you can continue.
Yeah. Text 163. Gita Shastra Jiva Rupe Shakti Kahi Mane Ena Jiva Vedakara Ishvarera Sani Gita Shastra in the Bhagavad Gita, Jiva Rupa, the identity of the living entity, Shakti, potency, Kari, making money, except Sena, such. Jiva, living entity, Veda, difference, Kara, you make. Ishwarera, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sane, Vipt. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is established as the marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet you say that the living entity is completely different from the Lord. Purport. The Brahma Sutra states that according to the principles of Shakti, Shakti Motar Abhida, the living entity is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are one, but in quantity they are different. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are accepted as one and different at the same time.
Aṅkāraṁ ityam me bhinna prakriti aṣṭada. Bhūmir, earth, apha, water, anala, fire, vayur, air, kam, ether, mana, mind, buddhir, intelligence, eva, certainly, cha, and ahankara, false ego, iti, thus, iam, this, me, my, bhinna, separated, prakriti, energy, aṣṭada, eightfold. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are my eightfold separated energies. Apareyam itastu anyam prakritim vidim me param jiva bhutam mahabaho vayadam daryate jagat. Apara, inferior, am this, itha, from this to, but anyam, another, prakritim, nature, vidhi, no, me, my. Param, transcendental, Jiva Bhutam, existing as the living entities, Mahabaho, O mighty armed one, Yaya, by which, Idam, this, Daryate is resting, Jagat, material world. Besides these inferior energies, which are material, there is another energy, a spiritual energy, and this is the living being, O mighty armed one. The entire material world is sustained by the living entities. Verses 164 and 165 are quotations from the Bhagavad Gita 7.45. Ishwarya Shri Vigraha Sachidananda Kara Se Vigrahe Kaha Sattva Gunera Vikara. Ishwarya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Vigraha, the form, Sachidananda Akara, complete in eternity, cognizant and blessed. Se Vigrahe, about that form of the Lord. Kaha, you say, Tattva Gunera, of the quality of material goodness, Vikara, transformation. The transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete in eternity, cognizance, and bliss. However, you describe this transcendental form as a product of material goodness. 167. Shri Vikrahe Namane Seta Pashande Adrishya Ashya Se Ahama Yamadande. Shri Vigraha, the form of the Lord, a and anyone who na not money accepts, say who ta indeed Pashandi Gnostic Adrishya, not to be seen, Aprishya, untouchable, say he Haya is Yamadande, subject to punishment, Yamraj. One who does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord is certainly an agnostic. Such a person should be neither seen nor touched. Indeed, he is subject to be punished by Yamraj. According to the Vedic instruction, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has his eternal transcendental form, which is always blissful and full of knowledge. Impersonalists say that material refers to the forms within our experience, and that spiritual refers to the absence of form. However, one should know that beyond this material nature is another nature, spiritual. Just as we are material forms in this material world, we are spiritual forms in the spiritual world. This is confirmed by all Vedic instructions. The spiritual form in the transcendental world has nothing to do with the negative conception of the formless self. The conclusion is that the person is an agnostic and he does not agree to wish the transcendental. Actually, at the present moment, all systems of religion deny the worship of the form of the Lord due to ignorance of its transcendental form. The first class materialist, the Mayavadi, imagine five specific forms of the Lord. But when they try to equate the worship of such imaginary forms with bhakti, they are immediately condemned. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 7:15, where he says, Namam duskrita mudha prapadyante naradama. Bereft of real knowledge due to agnosticism, the Mayavadi philosophers should not even be seen by the devotee of the Lord, nor touched, because those philosophers are liable to be punished by Yamraj, the superintendent demigod, who judges the activity of sinful men. The Mayavadi agnostics wander within this universe in different species of life due to their non-devotional activities. Such living entities are subjected to the punishments of the Lord. Only the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord are expelled from the jurisdiction of Yamaraj.
Okay, any question or comment?
No problem.
the Vedic literature not maniya accepting Bauddha, the Buddhist haya are the indeed Nastic agnostics ved ashraya, taking shelter of Vedic civilization, Nastikya Vada. Agnosticism, Bodhke, even Buddhist, Adhik surpassing. The Buddhists do not recognize the authority of the Vedas, therefore they are considered agnostics. However, those who have taken shelter of the Vedic scriptures yet preach agnosticism in accordance with the Mayavad philosophy are certainly more dangerous than the Buddhist. Although the Buddhists are directly opposed to Vaishnava philosophy, it can be easily understood that the Shankarites are more dangerous because they accept the authority of the Vedas yet act contrary to Vedic instruction. Vedashraya Nastikya Vada means agnosticism under the shelter of Vedic culture and refers to the monistic philosophy of the Mayavadis. Lord Buddha abandoned the authority of Vedic literature and therefore rejected the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. His Nirvana philosophy means stopping all material activities. Lord Buddha did not recognize the presence of transcendental forms and spiritual activities beyond the material world. He simply described Vaidism beyond this material existence. The Mayavadi philosophers offer lip service to Vedic authority but try to escape the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. They concoct some idea of transcendental position and call themselves Narayan or God. However, God's position is completely different from their concoction. Such Mayavadi philosophers consider themselves above the influence of karmakand, today activities and their reactions. For them, the spiritual world is equated with the Buddhist Vaidism. There is very little difference between impersonalism and Vaidism. Vaidism can be directly understood, but the impersonalism enunciated by Mayavadi philosophers is not very easily understandable. Of course, Mayavadi philosophers accept a spiritual existence, but they do not know the spiritual world and spiritual beings. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32,
Aryu Krishna Param Padam Tata Patantiyado Andrita Yusmad Angraya.
The intelligence of the Mayavadis is not verified. Therefore, even though they practice austerities for self-realization, they cannot remain within the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Consequently, they fall down again into this material world. the Mayavadi's conception of spiritual existence is almost identical to the negation of material existence. The Mayavadis believe that there is nothing positive in spiritual life. As a result, they cannot understand devotional service or worship of the Supreme Person. Satchidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 4.1. The Mayavadi philosophers consider deity worship and devotional service to be Pratibimbavad, or the worship of a form that is the reflection of a false material form. Thus, the Lord's transcendental form, which is eternally blissful and full of knowledge, is known to unknown to Mayavadi philosophers. Although the term Bhagwan is explicitly described in Srimad Bhagavatam, they cannot understand it. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagwan iti sabhyate. The absolute truth is called Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagwan. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. The Mayavadis try to understand Brahman only, or at the most Paramatma. However, they are unable to understand Bhagwan. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna says, Mayaya Parita Jnana. Because of the temperament of the Mayavadi philosophers, real knowledge is taken from them. Because they cannot receive the mercy of the Lord, they will always be bewildered by His transcendental form. Impersonal philosophy destroys the three phases of knowledge, Jnana, Jnaya, and Jnata. As soon as one speaks of knowledge, there must be a person who is the knower, the knowledge itself, and the object of knowledge. The Mayavad philosophy combines these three categories. Therefore, the Mayavadis cannot understand how the spiritual potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, they cannot understand the distinction in the spiritual world between knowledge, knower, and the object of knowledge. Because of this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers the Mayavadi philosophers more dangerous than the Buddhists. Yeah, so Buddhism is basically about voidism. They do not believe in God, and neither do they follow the Vedic injunctions. But it's very interesting that they also believe in reincarnation, although they do not believe in the soul. So for them, there is no soul, but there is reincarnation. And Mayavadis, they accept Vedas, but they deny the transcendental form of the Lord. In other words, it is a covered atheism, just like Jainism. Jainism and Mayavadism, they are like quite similar actually. And Mayavad philosophy is the root, you know, it is actually the main philosophy which needs to be refuted. And that's why you will see that Prabhupada, most of the time in his purports, he will destroy Mayavad philosophy. Because every other philosophy, they have this aspect of Mayavad philosophy. Whether you consider Jain philosophy, Buddhism, or Christianity, or Islam philosophy, whichever you consider, they have this Mayavad concept to a great extent. So here Buddhism also. Now see, what is the difference between Mayavad and Buddhism? Buddhist people, they say nasti, 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 which means that nothing exists. Everything is void. And Mayavad people, they will say neti, neti, neti. So basically, Buddhist will say that the absolute is nothing or does not exist. And Mayavadis will say that the absolute is something, but contains nothing, like that. So, you know, in other words, they are referring to the Brahman, because Brahman is something, it's a spiritual entity, but contains nothing. So this is a small upgradation of the philosophy. And this is how we can actually understand why this sequence was there, that first Buddha appeared and then Shankaracharya appeared, you know, to refute Buddhism, in order to destroy Buddhism and to re-establish the Vedas. But here we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this is more dangerous philosophy, because in the name of Vedas, we are trying to become atheist. So we are following the Vedas and also we are becoming atheist. So it's a kind of a hypocrisy. Whereas in Buddhist philosophy, they do not believe in God. I mean, you either be like an atheist or you believe in God. These are the two ways. Okay. But if you want to believe in God, but at the same time you also propagate atheism, that is a hypocrisy. So here, Mayavad philosophy is like a hypocrisy, whereas Buddha philosophy is quite straightforward. Now, obviously, the concept that reincarnation, they believe in reincarnation, but they do not believe in the soul. That is kind of difficult to understand, but they say that this reincarnation happens by the subtle body. So they, although they don't call it subtle body, we know subtle body is there. So they also believe in a similar kind of thing, which we say that it's a subtle body. For them, it might.
हेलो
हेलो
या कम जी
वी कांट हियर या इट्स ब्लैंक सो आई
पुट मैसेज इन आई थॉट कि भी आएगा मैम वाज वेटिंग तो कुछ सुनाई नहीं दे रहा मुझे
Correct. So I put a message in WhatsApp also, but I don't know if Prabhuji has seen it. I might. I'll just try calling him now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Almost, I think, 10 minutes we are out of connect.
Oh, कहाँ तक सुना आप लोगों ने?
Exactly, what was the point, huh? You were talking about Buddhism.
Yeah,
वो सुना क्या क्रिश्चियन का
निर्मिका माता जी से लिया
I mean I just remember last that you were saying that they say that in the Buddhist they reincarnate the subtle body reincarnates like that is just around the last
yeah.
part that you
हाँ अच्छा अच्छा okay so After that, I was also giving some kind of comparison between the Buddhist philosophy and Christian philosophy. And Christian philosophy, they believe that there is a soul, but there is no reincarnation. And I think some of the groups in Christian faith, they do accept that there is reincarnation. But I think a lot of the other groups, they do not believe in that. And they say that animals, they do not have a soul. Only the human beings have a soul. So all the different types of philosophies are there in Christian faith. I mean, there are differences of opinion amongst each and every community, religion community, because you see that, you will find that in Jainism also, you will find that in even Buddhist also. There is a lot of variety actually. You won't find each and every Buddhist in the same principle. Maybe to some degree there are some common principles, but then there is difference also. So even amongst Hinduism also there is a variety, and even amongst Muslims also we see that there is a variety. So I think it's a universal factor for each and every religion of the world. But coming to the point, you know, I was just, and did you also hear about the Pratibimbavad?
No.
Okay, really? Yeah, I mean, I was just explaining that concept that, you know, if you see a mirage on the road, then you will feel that there is water present. So, and that is actually the effect of the reflection of the light. So similarly, in the same way, in a similar way, we think that there is a form which is existing in the material world, but actually they say that according to the principle of pratibimba, which is basically principle of reflection, actually ultimately it's not true. We are just seeing because of our conditioning, or because we are in illusion, that's why we are seeing there is some kind of form which is existing, but actually it is not existing because everything is Brahman. So Brahman Satyam Jagat Mithyam, this is what they mean. So everything is actually false or illusory, and only Brahman is the reality for them, right?
What
so this is what I was actually
explaining. What is the philosophy name you said, Prabhuji?
Pratibimbavad. This is Prabhupada has stated this.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, this is the way they explain the philosophy. We call it Achinda Bhedabhed Tattva. So they call it Pratibimbavad. And there is also another way they explain it. I forgot the name of that. There are two ways they explain their philosophy. So I am not able to recollect the other method. Okay, anyways. But any comment or question?
No, Prabhuji. And Prabhuji, I'll be able to read only for next 10 minutes. Then I have to shut off the light.
Okay, sure. Okay, yeah. So you can continue, Rajiv Prabhu. Anyways, it is your turn only.
Okay. Jivena nishtara lagi sutra kaila vyasa mayamadi bhasya sunile haya sarvanasha. Jivera of the living entities, nishtara, deliverance, lagi, for the matter of sutra, the Vedanta sutra, kaila, made, vyasa, Srila Vyasa Deva, mayavadi, of the impersonalists, bhashya, commentary, sunile, fearing, haya, becomes, sarvanash, all destruction. Translation, Srila Vyasa Deva presented the Vedanta philosophy for the deliverance of conditioned souls, but if one hears the commentary of Shankaracharya, everything is spoiled. Factually, the devotional service of the Lord is described in the Vedanta Sutra by the Mayavad philosophers. The Shankarites prepared a commentary known as Shariraka Bhashya, in which the transcendental form of the Lord is denied. The Mayavadi philosophers think that the living entity is identical with the Supreme Soul Brahman. Their commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra are completely opposed to the principle of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore warns us to avoid these commentaries. If one indulges in hearing the Shankarite Shariraka Bhashya, he will certainly be bereft of all real knowledge. The ambitious Mayavadi philosophers desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, and this may be accepted as the Sayujya Mukti. However, this form of mukti means denying one's individual existence. In other words, it is a kind of spiritual suicide. It is absolutely opposed to the philosophy of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga offers immortality to the individual's conditioned soul. If one follows the Mayavadi philosophy, he misses his opportunity to become immortal after giving up the material body. The immortality of the individual person is the highest perfection stage a living entity can attain.
Okay. So this is how Shankaracharya explained this philosophy, and actually the followers of Shankaracharya, they do not even accept that they're following Mayavad. They feel that they are following Advaitavad, and there is a difference between Mayavad and Advaitavad. I mean, there are some technical differences between Mayavad and Advaitavad. So they say that they are actually the followers of Advaitavad. And Shankaracharya was also a follower of Advaitavad. I mean, this is what some of them claim, but I think Prabhupada and other acharyas, they are quite consistent in saying that they are Mayavadis. And I think this is because, mainly because, you know, they say that the entire world is Maya. It's an illusion. So this is how Shankaracharya presented the Vedanta Sutra, and it has gained a lot of prominence in the entire India because he appeared first, and he has also influenced so many, many, many people around India. And it is also very easily ingrained in us, this philosophy, because everyone would want to become God, everyone would like to be the enjoyer. So it is not so difficult, although it is definitely not logical. And I mean, if someone is really sincere, genuine, then they cannot accept this philosophy because no way it is logical. But because it is very attractive, because, you know, since it is mentioned that we are all God and we are the enjoyers, or you know, ultimately we will become Brahman. So technically speaking, it is kind of an equality amongst all the living entities, which I think it is very easy to accept.
Should I continue reading from the two more verses?
Yeah, you can read more.
Parinamvad,
yeah, that's the second method, how they explain.
Okay. Parinamavadavyasa sutreva sammata achintya shakti ishvara jagad rupa parinata. Parinamvad, the theory of transformation, vyasa sutreva of the Vedanta Sutra, sammata, purpose, achintya shakti, inconceivable power, ishvara, the supreme personality of Godhead, jagad rupa, in the form of cosmic manifestation, parinata, transformed. Translation: the Vedanta Sutra aims at establishing that the cosmic manifestation has come into being by a transformation of the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a further explanation of Parinamad, refer to Adi Lila, 7th chapter, verses 121 to 133.
Okay, I think I've committed one error. Actually, Parinamvad is something that we accept because it is related to transformation of the energy of the Lord. Yeah, so there is some other different philosophy which they also use to prove their point. But we follow the principle of Parinamvad, which means that there is some transformation. So basically, the energy is transformed. The Shakti is transformed. We don't say that the Supreme Lord is transformed. Because the Supreme Lord can never transform, you know, in the sense that he cannot become material. But what becomes material is the Shakti of the Supreme Lord. So that is actually transformation. But they don't believe in transformation. They say that Brahman is right, you know, in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, Brahman can never transform itself. It is always the same. But we say that the Supreme Lord Shakti is transforming, and the Supreme Lord is the same. That is why we have developed this philosophy of Achintya Bhedavad Tattva.
Okay.
Yeah, next verse, yeah.
Yeah. Mani yaiche avikrite prashabhehema bhara jagadrupa haya ishvara tabu avikara. Mani, the touchstone, yaiche, just as avikrite, without being transformed, prasave, produces hemabhara, volumes of gold, jagat rupa, the cosmic manifestation, haya, becomes ishvara, the supreme personality of Godhead, tabu, still, avikara, unchanged. The touchstone, after touching iron, produces volumes of gold without being changed. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself as a cosmic manifestation of his inconceivable potency, yet he remains unchanged in his eternal transcendental form. According to the commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the purpose of Janmadi Ashya verse in the Vedanta Sutra is to establish that the cosmic manifestation is the result of the transformation of the potencies of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the master of innumerable eternal energies, which are unlimited. Sometimes these energies are manifested and sometimes they are not. In any case, all energies are under his control. Therefore, he is the original energetic, the abode of all energies. A common brain in the conditioned state cannot conceive of how this inconceivable energies abide in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he exists in his innumerable forms as the master of both spiritual and material energies, how he is the master of both manifest and potential powers, and how contradictory potencies can abide in him. As long as the living entity is within this material world, in the condition of illusion, he cannot understand the activities of the inconceivable energies of the Lord. Thus, the Lord's energies, though factual, are simply beyond the power of the common brain to understand. When the atheistic philosophers or the Mayavadis, being unable to understand the inconceivable energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, imagine an impersonal void, their imagination is only the counterpart of materialistic thinking. Within the material world, there is nothing inconceivable. High-thinking philosophers and scientists can tackle the material energy, but not being able to understand the spiritual energy. They can simply imagine an inactive state such as the impersonal Brahman. This is simply the negative side of material life. By such imperfect knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers conclude that the cosmic manifestation is a transformation of the Supreme. Thus, they must necessarily also accept the theory of the illusion of the Supreme Vivartavada. However, if we accept the inconceivable potencies of the Lord, we can understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear within the material world without being touched or contaminated by the three modes of material nature. From the Shastras, we learn that there is a stone or jewel called a touchstone that can transform iron into gold. However, the touchstone turns iron into gold many times, it remains in its original condition. If such a material stone can maintain its inconceivable energy after producing volumes of gold, certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead can remain in his original form, original Satchidananda form, after creating the cosmic world. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.1, he acts only through his different energies. Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti. Krishna directs the material energy and that potency works in this material world. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Srishti Siti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga Ichchanu Rupam Apiyasya Chestate Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The Durga Shakti, material energy, acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the universal creation, maintenance and destruction are being carried out by the Durga Shakti. Krishna's direction is in the background. The conclusion is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains as he is, even though directing his energy, which makes the diverse cosmic manifestation work so wonderfully. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, so You know, it is clear that there is transformation of the energy of the Lord, but it is not the Lord Himself who is actually transforming in a different way, or He is not modified or altered in any way, but He is transformed in the form of His energy. This is what our philosophy is. But Prabhupada explains very clearly that Mayavadis, they don't understand, and it is difficult for them to understand because it is beyond the material perception. Actually, you know, I have spoken to some, like, you know, one of my roommate was a Jain when I was in US, and I've also spoken to one of my relative who is also, probably, you know, he might not be following very strictly, but he was, when I had a discussion with him, he was promoting this Shankaracharya philosophy. So one thing, or you can say that Jain people also, if you talk to them, one thing they are not able to accept and understand is how come all these potencies are simultaneously present in the Lord. And they say that we have never seen such a personality like what you are describing. So when we try to disclaim them that according to us, Bhagwan is someone who is eternal, and eternally is possessing all these opulences in full, they are not able to accept it. They are not able to digest that. Although they are able to digest that there is an eternality of all the jivas, and karma is also eternal, they are able to digest that factor, because they see in the material, they are seeing that the jiva is existing, at the same time the karma is also existing, because they see that karma is working. And when they say karma, then they say that, you know, the jiva as a soul is also existing eternally. So because they have the concept of becoming God, when they attain perfection, then they actually become God. Now obviously the definition for God is different for them and for us, and we also know that we are part and parcel of Supreme Lord, but they don't have this conception. They say that eternally we are existing, at the same time eternally we are having karma, because this is something they can perceive. When we talk about a supreme personality of Godhead who has all these opulences and he can simultaneously, you know, have contradictory characteristics also present, so that is very difficult for people to accept because they have never seen such kind of people. Now interestingly, although they say that, and when we talk about it, so see, generally they will say that, okay, there is eternal concept is there, okay. But we also seen, and we also see in the material world, that there is origin for all of us. Like, we birth from our parents. And, you know, so it is connected to the ancestors also. This we can clearly observe and perceive. But they are not able to accept this factor also, because as soon as you talk about the origin of the jivas and you say that there is a God from whom we have taken birth, or we have been created, they will say that what is the origin of that God? So they get stuck at that point, even the people, and that's why they don't believe in God. Or they say that one can actually become God. You know, like, in their concept also there is no God actually. Whatever Murti Puja they are doing, it's just a way to elevate themselves to attain perfection. So it is helpful to them. But even amongst Nizam also there are two sects. There is the Swatambar and Digambar. Now the Digambar people, they are very strictly following their Shastras. And they think that, you know, they are capable of elevating themselves to a higher level because they are strictly following all these injunctions of their Shastra. Whereas the Swatambar people, they are more connected to Murti Puja. They visit temples, and not only that, but they also appreciate Vedic culture and Vedic philosophy. Whereas Digambar Jain people, they are completely, they do not accept Vedic philosophy, because certain things are common, and I think that commonality is same everywhere in all the religions, but they know that there is a huge difference between what the Vedas is saying and what we are saying. So they will not accept that. And I think the major difference is to accept something which is, to accept the fact that someone is controlling or someone is creating us, that they are not able to accept. So when I was discussing with my friend about the concept of Bhagwan and how we are coming from him, and Bhagwan does not have an origin, because if he has an origin, then he cannot be Bhagwan. So somewhere the cycle has to stop, and we can see that now, see, in the material world we can see that we are from someone, but they are not able to accept that. They say that there is inconsistency in your explanation, because you know everything is eternal, but then suddenly you are bringing a concept which is like, you know, self originating, self manifesting concept you are saying, which is a bit difficult to accept. Okay, so but interestingly, you know, the way that they are accepting that karma is eternal, jiva is eternal, so that is also same way, you know, we can say that how can you accept that also, because that also is inconsistent. Now who says that, you know, and why should one believe that the jiva is eternal, I mean, or the karma is eternal, you know, because if you perceive someone, you know, on an external level, the gross body is going away. So that is carrying forward. And then you say that the soul is there, but then obviously, what the origin of that soul? It cannot just act, it cannot just come randomly from anywhere at any time. You know, and there has to be a purpose, because the soul is acquiring certain body and it is also struggling, you know, in that body. So how all these things are there, this they are not able to explain. So there is inconsistency in their philosophy also, because they are not able to accept that there is someone who is a supreme controller. They even say that the Tirthankars, you know, you can become a Tirthankar, or you can attain perfection by attaining knowledge. Once you attain knowledge of past, present, future, that means you become God. But now the very fact that they have to follow certain things in order to attain that platform, it clearly means that they are accepting, they are being controlled by someone. Okay, so this is a very logical thing that, and now, you know, one can question that, okay, why do you have to follow someone, you know, or why do you have to follow the instructions of the Tirthankars? Okay, they have become self-realized, but then who has decided these principles, who has set out these principles, and what is the reason the soul is in the material world? So they do not have answer to these questions. Okay, karma, no, karma is eternal, and karma is eternal means, you know, you can destroy the karma only when you attain that perfection. So my, you know, my roommate, he was not able to understand this principle, that how come you believe in a person who has all these characteristics, because we cannot perceive this in the material world, we cannot see that. And then obviously we can also counter argue to their philosophy that the Tirthankars that you are talking about, we also cannot see, you know, we and then obviously when you are following someone, it means that you are controlled. You have to follow me, you know, you are following a particular path. That means someone has led down the path. Someone is controlling you. If you do not follow, you will be suffering. So that means you are also controlled. And then all these questions are not answered. So there is inconsistency in Jain philosophy also. The same thing I had discussed with a group of Jain people. when I had gone for Bhagavatam set distribution. And so all of them were able to relate, like they just didn't understand the concept of God. They were thinking in their terms that God is someone who we can become. They were thinking like that. But actually, at the end, I just told them that I think the confusion is, and I think the reason you are not able to accept what I'm saying is because you think that God is like someone as you have made God, you know, according to your views. But God is a person, eternal person, who is with full opulences, infinite opulences. And so he always remains God. It's not that, as like Prabhupada used to say, that he is God, you know, he will become God, but today is not God. God is always God, like that. But they don't, they are not able to accept this concept. So it is natural when you are not able to understand something materially, then you want to assign something which is transcendental to material conception. So then you go ahead and say that God cannot have any material characteristics because, or you know, the Supreme Absolute Truth cannot have any material characteristics because it is beyond that. So they will say like that, you know, finally. But actually they don't understand that beyond that, although, you know, Supreme Lord is beyond definitely, but there is a concept called spiritual, you know, personal, spiritual personality, transcendental form also. So this transcendental form is also different from the material conception. Now, so our philosophy, we can see that it harmonizes everything, but their philosophy is lacking in all these areas, just because they are not able to materially perceive things. Or they feel that God cannot be material. You know, it we cannot bring God or the Supreme Absolute Truth to a material platform. And that's why they are kind of refraining from accepting the personality of the Supreme Lord, because they feel that then God will also become like a human being. So then, and it does not make sense for them. Yeah, so that relative of mine also was not able to answer questions, because he knew, I mean, he himself admitted that, you know, you have surpassed a certain level where I cannot answer your questions. So he admitted that he does not know, you know, because he was instructing me, and I just told him that why you have to instruct me, because you say that everyone is God. So then I am also God, you are also God. So why you have to instruct me? So then he said, yeah, you know, I mean, I accept that, you know, now we cannot, like, I cannot go beyond this because you have attained a certain level where I cannot answer your questions. So okay. But this is the biggest fallacy in Mayavad philosophy. Everyone is God, but still they are instructing everyone. Everyone is God, everything is illusion, but still you are accepting Shankaracharya. Now, if you say that everything is illusion, why you have to accept Shankaracharya also? Because he is also in illusion. He is also teaching something which is illusory. So who can, why one has to learn? So that means, if one is learning, it means that the Brahman has decided that only those jivas who will accept my knowledge, they will attain perfection. And what does that mean? It's a very funny concept. So are you getting my point? See, if you say that Shankaracharya's philosophy should be accepted and we should follow him, that means Brahman has decided that you have to follow a particular personality in your life to attain. The fact that the Supreme Absolute Truth desires or decides something itself means that actually the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. It's very logical, right? Otherwise, what is the use of, otherwise everything is illusion. Who said that I have to follow Shankaracharya? Who said that I have to follow the Shastra? Why I should follow the Shastra and Shankaracharya's teachings also? Very simple. Everything is Maya. The fact that Shastra is existing and you call it Maya, you cannot call it Maya because you must have some way to escape from the material world and you want to attain perfection. That means the Supreme Absolute Truth has given you something to attain perfection. And that itself indicates that the Supreme Absolute Truth is actually a decision maker. He is someone who is desiring. And now obviously the question mark is, why does the Supreme Absolute Truth desire something? What is the purpose? So see, they contradict themselves. And whatever they are doing, it's all word jugglery, more than that. Right? So does that make sense? Any comment or question?
No problem.
Okay. So see, it's very interesting. Yeah.
I have one question. And why do they do this? What are they going to get by doing all this word juggling? How is it satisfying like them? What purpose is achieved by them?
Okay, so see, there are two concepts here. First of all, it is their own karma that they are not able to perceive these things. Okay, and at the same time, because of their own karma, Shankaracharya has been sent by the Lord to actually facilitate these kind of jivas, at least to bring them to a level where they can accept the Vedas. So, see, ultimately we have to see that every jiva is at different modes of material nature and at different spiritual level, advancement level. Okay, so the Lord is connecting all these jivas according to their level of advancement. Just as you know, they are not able to appreciate, they are not able to understand this concept. Okay, and that means they have to, at least they have to get connected to something. So for those who are atheistic in nature, Buddhism is actually one of the most favored path for them. And I think they can very well relate to that path because it does not talk about God. And they also notice that there is suffering in the material world, so there must be some reason for that. So then they say that, okay, we accept karma, but there is no God, there is nothing like that. So for them, those who are atheistic, they will actually accept Buddhism to a greater extent. And now, if you want to upgrade these people, or if you want to
paint blank.
Hello?
Again. Come blank. Right passage.
Okay, message.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, so, yeah, so I think you did hear I was mentioning about the karma of the jivas, and that's how they get connected to these different philosophies, because they are not in the position to accept. So I mean, you know, it is like all of us, we are evolving in our consciousness with time, with our own karmas. Just like, you know, a child cannot understand calculus in the beginning. They have to be promoted to 10th standard, and then after that, calculus is taught. So, you know, initially, you know, people have difficulty to understand. Now, atheistic people, they cannot accept Vedic philosophy, because the fact that God is existing actually makes them repel. Okay, so you have to give them something that they can stay connected. So for them, Buddhist philosophy is actually very close. And then there is a little bit transformation from Buddhist philosophy to Shankaracharya's philosophy, where there is the acceptance of the Vedas, but the philosophically, if you see, there is a very less transformation from neti nasti nasti to neti neti. It's a very you know, there is no variation, there's no lot, like, you know, huge variation between these two philosophies. It's very close philosophy. So it is Shankara philosophy is also covered atheism, and Buddhist philosophy is atheism actually. So it is kind of relatable, you know. So depending on our level of consciousness, we upgrade and we connect to that particular philosophy. And I think, you know, it is also important to understand that we are also in the same category. Because if we did not receive the mercy of devotees in our past lives, or we did not get sufficient Agyata Sukriti in our previous lives, then we would have also been in the same category, probably. Okay, so our, and I think we all know that the, you know, when we joined in the beginning and right now, maybe after 5 years, 10 years down the line, all these concepts were very new to us. I mean, for me, see, I have been involved in worshipping Krishna right from the beginning, because my family, the Gujarati families, they are generally Krishna worshippers. Naturally, they are Krishna worshippers. So, for me to accept devotional service was not a big thing. It was like a natural instinct for me. And I think most of the Indians also have that instinct if they are also connected to a particular lineage. So, it is not so difficult, but I had never heard about, you know, Mayavadism, Jainism philosophy, and all these other philosophies. These all I just started to learn when I started reading Prabhupada books, and when I was always noticing that Prabhupada is always being critical and he's always trying to defeat all these philosophies. So that's how I actually came to know what are all these different types of philosophies. So we know that our, even in Krishna consciousness, so our upgradation is happening every year, or maybe, you know, every few years or every few months, and we are able to understand more and more with time. And obviously that is also again because of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, because it is very clearly stated that only when you have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, then the purports of Vedas are revealed to you. So when we start following the instructions of the spiritual master, when we serve, we get connected to devotees, we associate, when we perform all these activities, when we do our sadhana nicely, then we start getting the mercy of the Supreme Lord, the mercy of the Guru, and through them, we are upgraded to our consciousness. So we, you know, keep understanding and realizing many, many facts with time. Okay, so this is how even other living entities, they are not Krishna conscious right now, but maybe they are just connected to their particular level, and it's a matter of time. You know, that is why it's so important that the devotees, they should be compassionate and they should bestow the mercy to them. So at least not in this lifetime, but maybe in the next lifetime they will definitely be connected, and they will be able to understand. So now the point that I was able to connect with devotional service, and I was able to understand Krishna, who Krishna was. For me, it was not difficult to understand that Krishna has contradictory characteristics. In fact, I will tell you one more thing, very interesting, that when I joined my early days of Krishna consciousness, I was in touch with one, probably he is a devotee, I don't know now what is the status, but this person was from IIT, he was from one of the IITs, and we had a discussion, and this was in Orkut, if you remember, like Facebook, there was a social, this thing. Like Facebook, we have Orkut, earlier days. In Orkut, I used to, we have some groups, and I think ISKCON Devotee, they made some groups. So I was a part of it. And I was, now, when I had not even read Bhagavad Gita completely, what I told him that Krishna knows everything and he knows past, present, future of all living entities. Okay, now, see, without even reading Bhagavad Gita completely or Srimad Bhagavatam, I could tell that Krishna knows everything, because I had no doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality, because it made a lot of sense to me. Okay, first of all, right from the beginning, this natural instinct was there that Krishna is the Supreme Person by seeing his activities and all that. Second thing is that I had a feeling or instinct that everything is possible by Krishna, nothing is impossible, or nothing is impossible by the Supreme Lord. So I told him that he knows everything, God knows everything, or whoever is supreme knows everything. And he, in response to my answer, he said that, no, it is not like that. Krishna knows only, or God can only guess up to 99%, like that. But he does not know everything, because if he knew everything, then everything is destined. If God knows past, present, future of everyone, then everything is destined. Then where is the question of free will? But I said, although I could not explain to him, but I said that, no, it is still possible. We can have free will. At the same time, he knows everything also. Because if you say he does not know something, then it is, then God is lacking something, which is not possible. So that was my understanding. So later with time, I got to know that I was right in my intuition. And I also read it in Bhagavad Gita. And then it was also confirmed by devotees. So these things are revealed to us when the time comes, when the revelation is there, and when we follow the process. So it can only come when we have the mercy of the devotees. So maybe in the previous life, we have, if we attain that Agya Sukriti, then we can continue. And we have natural instincts like that. Okay, it's not so difficult to accept these philosophies. But if you don't have that Sukriti, then it is very difficult to understand these things. So here, that's why Prabhupada is saying that Mayavadis, for them, it is very difficult to accept that God as a form. Because they immediately bring that on the material platform. Instead of thinking that God can have a form, but it can also be transcendental like that. Right? So does it make sense?
Yeah.
And I think all of you are also experiencing the same thing. You have spent number of years now. And with time, the capacity to understand things, it's all increasing with time, right? I think you are all able to understand all these concepts. Yeah, so we follow the process, and all these things will be revealed to us. Although initially it may sound like, for example, my intuition was about, Krishna knowing everything. But one time when I was connected to devotees in US, when we were preaching, so that time one senior devotee said that non-devotees, although they have karma, but actually they don't have karma. And I was like bewildered, because I could not understand that point of time. But now I could clearly understand what he said. So I think there is a evolvement in the consciousness when we start following the process. So Guru and Krishna will help. Okay. So anything else? We can stop now. I just wanted to make a comment. See, what I observed, one thing, right from 147 verse to till I think we covered 171, right? Or 170. 171. Did you observe something? Did you notice something in whatever Mahaprabhu has quoted till now? Rival, are you there?
Yeah.
I mean, did you notice something about from, you know, right from 148 to 171? Mahaprabhu is. I think let's do one thing. You can meditate on that, and maybe by next week you can come up with this answer. So. We'll discuss next week now. Okay, all right. So, thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam.
Thank you.
Thank you.